This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
You better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody
look. With tensions high on the Korean Peninsula, there's a lot of attention being paid halfway around the world in New York to these UN General Assembly meetings that we've been talking about. We were speaking with the South Korean presidential office today. They gave a few more details about that conversation between President Trump and President Moon. They agreed, according to the office, to strengthen collaboration in the face of provocations coming from North Korea. Remember, in addition to the various speeches and meetings, there will be a trilateral meeting involving President Trump, President Moon, and Japanese Prime Minister Abe. Here's a bit more of what the South Korean presidential office had to say about the conversation.
Yang Jong-sangun.
The two leaders strongly condemned North Korea as it went ahead with a missile provocation again, even after the international society showed a unified, firm stand by adopting a UN Security Council resolution on North Korea's sixth nuclear test.
Now, this comes in the wake of that North Korean launch of the intermediate-range ballistic missile just 2 days ago. Kim Jong-un said to be in attendance. And yes, the Trump administration officials have launched their own verbal barrage of attacks, and that's taken notice here in South Korea as well. National Security Advisor General H.R. McMaster adding that North Korea, in his words, has run out of road. Secretary of State Tillerson saying that if diplomacy fails, then the military option is the only one left. Remember that the North Korean delegation, including, we believe, its foreign minister, will be in the General Assembly Hall not too far from the speaking rostrum when President Trump gets up to give his address to the General Assembly on Tuesday. That should be very interesting. Finally, Eric, officials here are also still watching the peninsula this week, watching North Korea. Kim Jong-un has this habit of making trouble domestically, regionally, when there are big diplomatic events happening elsewhere. He wants to stay in the public eye.
They're keeping an eye on Kim Jong-un. Even this morning, the president is speaking at a meeting on reforming the UN, probably something that, has been, I guess, long in waiting here, Scott, because, you know, when you think about the UN, you've got all these members there that have an equal voice. I mean, some very small countries that have as much weight as the United States, even though the United States funds most of the UN, you know, as being kind of an example and leader to the world. And you've got empires, countries that are very anti-liberty, very anti-Western governance and that mindset. And so it's really, I think, pretty challenging, I would think, where you run into the wrong gospel, the wrong church, you know, quite often, just philosophically and according to worldviews. And so they're addressing that. And, of course, tomorrow the president will have a speech to present to the UN at large. And I think a big point of this has to do with North Korea, because, you know, when you think about what Kim Jong-un has done, he is not threatening just the United States. I mean, we're talking the planet. I mean, we've got somebody here that, to what degree? I mean, we kind of hope that he's not as far along as possible, but still, if you can only imagine what could happen if Kim Jong-un even somehow releases a nuclear bomb, and let's just say even if it has some EMP consequences over the United States. I mean, some experts are predicting as many as 9 out of 10 Americans would die under an EMP attack. I know that sounds pretty drastic, but these are the models that they're talking about. If our grid, our electrical grid, was attacked, what could that mean? And Kim Jong-un is only one of many players that would want to see the demise of the United States of America.
But this, by far, could be and would be an international incident without a doubt. And that's one of the considerations I believe that Donald Trump is going to be bringing to the United Nations tomorrow. We've got more coming up. Stay with us.
Does the current world crisis in North Korea or our domestic crisis right here in America concern you? Well, I know it concerns me. My friends over at Legacy Food Storage have solutions in the event there's the inevitable. What's the inevitable? Civil unrest, a run on your local grocery store. And here's my question to you. If this happens, how do you feed your children? How do you feed your grandchildren? Legacy Food Storage has the solutions. In fact, they can help you implement a simple plan to take care of your needs in the event of the inevitable. By calling them right now, I have authorized them to give you a special 20% discount at checkout by simply using GCN. Call 888-543-7345 or visit them at legacyfoodstorage.com. That's 888-543-7345 or visiting them at legacyfoodstorage.com. Make sure you use GCN at checkout for an incredible 20% discount. Don't be a victim. Take control of your life now.
America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
General Mattis will take care of it.
Well, by saying General Mattis will take care of it, you're talking about the Pentagon and you're talking about a military option. Is that what Fire and Fury meant?
You have to ask the president what Fire and Fury meant, but I think we all know that basically if North Korea keeps on with this reckless behavior, if the United States has to defend itself or defend its allies in any way, North Korea will be destroyed. And we all know that. And none of us want that. None of us want war. But we also have to look at the fact that you are dealing with someone who is being reckless, irresponsible, and is continuing to give threats not only to the United States, but to all of their allies. So something is going to have to be done. We're trying every other possibility that we have, but there's a whole lot of military options on the table.
United Nations Ambassador Nikki Haley commenting on North Korea and the military options. With us right now, Dr. Ann Pierce joins us, foreign policy analyst, author of the book, A Perilous Path, The Misguided Foreign Policy of Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, and John Kerry. And that misguided foreign policy, Donald Trump and his administration are having to trip through that even still to this day. Right, Dr. Pierce?
Oh, that's so right. I mean, as I've been saying, what better example of what doesn't work in foreign policy than today's North Korea? We clearly know now that engagement with this extremist regime did not work. Negotiations were, it turned out, simply attempted negotiations. Mm-hmm. North Korea had never had any intention of taking negotiations seriously or of keeping negotiated terms on those rare times when it actually would agree to sit at the table. So now we've inherited this tremendous mess from decades of being too complacent in the face of the progress of North Korea's ballistic and nuclear missile programs, not to mention their atrocities against their own people getting worse and worse year by year. And now what this administration has done really from day one is to apply a strategy of what it calls maximum pressure on North Korea and North Korea's enablers. And the question is it enough? Is it too little, too late? And they are desperately hoping that it will be enough because, as Nikki Haley said in that piece you just played, we do want to avoid war. Right? I mean, when you're talking about nuclear weapons, you're talking about a war that would spiral out of control with civilian casualties. Who knows where it would lead? But
it has total planetary implications here, Anne. This is not just a small little bomb, that can be. We're finding out years later that Fukushima, with a failed nuclear plant, to this day, the ramifications that still have infiltrated other countries, much less a true nuclear attack. with today's technology that could take place. Forget it. I mean, you know, this is where, as you talk about the enablers of North Korea, and China really needs to, you know, step up, and China needs to really be brought front and center here, because they're not helping, and we're at this critical point, this tipping point, Dr. Pierce, that this thing could go over the edge very quickly, fast, and with the irresponsibility of, you know, of Kim Jong-un firing missiles over Japan. What happens if one, oops, you know, we miss the coordinates and it falls short and ends up in Japan? What do you do?
Oh, I tell you, I agree with every word you said. I mean, this latest nuclear test turned out people were hesitant to actually say it and confirm it, but now it's been confirmed that this latest nuclear weapon tested was in the range of a powerful hydrogen bomb, one 12 times as powerful as the previous nuclear test. Mm-hmm. So when I say exponential progress in North Korea's nuclear and missile programs, that's what we're talking about. It was only so long ago, a few months ago, where we were saying, well, does North Korea really have that mid-range missile technology in hand yet? We know they're making great progress. Well, now this latest missile test shows that North Korea can hit Guam, the very thing it's been threatening to do all along. And as you said, we have to do everything we can to pressure not only North Korea, but North Korea's enablers. And Nikki Haley there in the UN has managed, as she said, the best she can manage, given that China and Russia are always running interference for North Korea. So that amazing resolution she managed to push through her moral and strategic leadership, imposed the toughest ever economic sanctions, banning North Korean coal, not just capping it, tightening control over financial transactions. And then she managed to get through a follow-up resolution that cut textile imports and capped oil imports and sanctioned North Korean government and entities. But again, because of China and Russia running interference, we didn't actually succeed in imposing an oil embargo on North Korea, and we didn't actually succeed in sanctioning Kim Jong-un himself. And that just tells us a whole lot about China and Russia, that they would disagree with those extra sanctions given the catastrophic threat that the whole world, as you said, this isn't a regional thing. This is an event that could really spiral out of control. So it's no wonder that the administration is continuously working on additional ways to pressure China. They've already sanctioned China in various ways. The Treasury Department, this is the kind of thing that never makes the news, but the Treasury Department has put tremendous pressure on now Chinese intellectual and property and takeover deals in the United States, which, of course, is the last thing China wants. They benefit so much from those deals here.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And now the latest I'm hearing is that Trump is preparing an executive order that would actually stop trade with any country doing business with North Korea. Whether that actually happens, that would obviously be an extreme step, but as I've said, when it comes to North Korea, we have to stop waiting until the threat is grave to apply extreme pressure on extreme regimes. And the longer we wait, the more we're forced into taking these extreme actions.
Mm-hmm. Well, the thing is that I find quite amazing is when some of the pundits or, you know, the TV newscasters and interviewers will say, well, you know, would we, you know, how can we cut back? How can we cut back China? You know, we're talking, you know, they contribute so much, you know, to the United States. And, you know, we're such a trading partner. I guess about a third of our trade is going to China back and forth roughly. And yes, it is a critical partner. But, you know, where do you cut your losses when you're talking about your very existence, right? You can't worry. So that can't be the priority because of trade, can it be?
Exactly. I agree. And that's another problem, is that our priority in all our dealings with China through recent years has been trade. And we've been willing to overlook human rights and their geopolitical and military aggression because of it, and now this leads us here. So I agree with you totally.
Well, this could be a time, Dr. Pierce, that calls for courage on all fronts. And it would seem that Donald Trump and Nikki Haley especially are leading the way on behalf of the United States of America and free-thinking people around the world. This is Bill Martinez. We're live. More from Dr. Ann Pierce right after the break. Stay with us. It's 15 minutes after the top of the hour right now.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original and most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
Kiyosaki, Rogers, and Schiff all concur there's an economic calamity that will be facing this country. My question to you is, do you know when and are you prepared? Most people don't, but my friends over at Republic Monetary Exchange have been leading experts in precious metals to help you offset the coming economic collapse. Right now, for a limited time, they have a free book called The 10 Reasons You Should Own Gold. You simply need to give them a call at 888-772-2929 to get that in your hands. Do not allow the insiders to do what they did to you in 2008, putting your IRAs, 401ks, and savings in jeopardy. You need this book, and you need it now. The 10 Reasons You Should Own Gold. Call 888-772-2929. That's 888-772-2929. There's a reason that the largest investment banking company in the world, J.P. Morgan, just purchased another 50 million ounces of silver. This free book will explain it. 888-772-2929.
Did you know children are 52 times more likely to suffer from identity theft than adults? Credit Alert will not fix the fallout. Liberty ID does, and here's an exciting offer just for you. Go to LibertyID.com and cover your entire family, your spouse, your children, and your parents for only $129 a year. Use promo code FREETRIAL and we'll give you the first 60 days free. That's LibertyID.com, promo code FREETRIAL. LibertyID.com. LibertyID.com.
You've heard the phrase, you are what you eat? Not true. Actually, you are what you can absorb. So if the vitamins and supplements you now take are not being absorbed, what good are they? Introducing Protovite, proprietary liquid system that allows premium quality nutrients to positively affect the blood in an astonishing 5 minutes. Watch our amazing 2-minute live blood cell video at TrueHealthFacts.com. That's TrueHealthFacts.com. Then call 502-410-3411. Protovite is nutrition you can feel. Protovite is nutrition that gets in.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just a dollar a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now, and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-557-0158. That's 800-557-0158. Again, 800-557-0158.
North Korea openly threatens the U.S. and launches a new missile every other week. Their warhead of choice? Electromagnetic pulse. Such an event would cripple the U.S. power grid for years and leave millions in the dark. Are you ready? You can be with a Solark EMP-hardened solar generator. Solark works day in and day out to keep your essentials protected. You can have peace of mind knowing your power will be there when you most need it. Visit PortableSolarLLC.com to see EMP testing. That's PortableSolarLLC.com. Energy insurance for your family.
Service. They they still exist here.
And we're talking about things you're talking about, and it is our duty to bring you the experts to pursue the truth. More than an 8-second soundbite. Welcome back, Bill Martinez here, 19 minutes after the top of the hour. Dr. Ann Pierce is with us. We're going to talk more about North Korea and the allies and, you know, the old saying, birds of a feather flock together, and all the interests that are on the world stage right now, offering cover to North Korea and putting the rest of the world in an incredible amount of danger. But before we go there, and I wanted to get your read on Secretary of State Tillerson saying the U.S. is weighing closing embassy in Cuba over these sonic attacks. This has been going on for over a year, and I'm surprised that it's only now that we're hearing as much about it, maybe because we've got as many as, a couple of dozen, embassy officials and U.S. personnel that are being injured by these sonic attacks. Kind of weird.
Oh, it's really awful, and we keep hearing about more and more. It seems that the numbers keep going up. I think yesterday the numbers of officials that are actually suffering from brain injuries or hearing injuries or both went up again, and it's an example of the normalization of relations that Obama pursued, not getting us anywhere, which it never does when you're talking about a Marxist extremist regime. I mean, they will take whatever we give them and run with it and continue to try to hurt us. And I know that there are claims out there from Russia and others that this did not come from them or from the Cuban government, but all I can say is when it's a liar who's supposedly giving you the truth, you certainly need to be skeptical. And as you pointed out, this has been going on for more than a year. So at the very time we were normalizing relations, these awful attacks were going on our personnel. And it'll be interesting to see what Secretary of State Tillerson does decide to do.
Well, you got five Republican senators that finally decided to get an uproar over this. On Friday, they called for the Trump administration to retaliate against the Cuban government by expelling Cuban diplomats, possibly shuttering the U.S. embassy there over these attacks that began in late 2016. So, here you are. I mean, it's like, and we're not getting a whole lot of response where Cuba's jumping in and saying, hey, look, we're going to get down to the bottom of this. I mean, it's, as you say, it's more of a deflection, which leads you to believe that this has been sanctioned by the Cuban government.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think it's deflection. I do think that what goes in our embassy, every single thing is monitored when you're talking about these police states. So I think the government was involved. And when we eased up on the normalization, we didn't completely end the improvement of relations with Cuba, but the Trump administration really backed away. And in doing so, he said, we're not going to lift all the sanctions until all political prisoners are freed and freedom of assembly and expression are respected. And basically, there's respect for the rule of law and international, something like international norms or something to that effect. Mm-hmm. Well, what greater example of not respecting the rule of law and some sort of etiquette and international norms than this? This is just awful.
Well, when it comes to foreign policy, we have been so compromised here, and what kind of messages have we sent out to all these other countries? It's so easy for us to write a check and give them money, but now when we look at $20 trillion in debt, some congressmen have come back and said, well, why are we supporting people that don't like us, they want us dead, and we give them money? This doesn't make sense, especially in this day and age. And I know that many in the country today are grateful for a Donald J. Trump who's asking these questions and making some decisions that heretofore, you know, the Barack Obamas and the other progressives that have preceded and gotten us into this mess. You get a guy like Trump, a businessman that says, where's the ROI? Where's the return on investment for all the good that we've done? So here it is. We try to normalize relations with Cuba, and they are involved in one form or another. You're going to tell me that that country is not aware of any kind of sonic disturbance that is targeted to U.S. Embassy officials and employees?
Yeah, I so agree. And I've always believed that we are so naive in the way we give money and withhold money. I mean, as you said, we are continuously in this country subsidizing or partially subsidizing regimes that will turn around and do us and our allies and freedom-loving people harm. Mm-hmm. And then we're also continuously underestimating our own leverage. I always think the United States of America, with its military and economic presence, unbelievable around the world, and yet we're so hesitant to, for example, apply full sanctions onto North Korea before we get in a situation like we're in now. I mean, people are still saying, oh, sanctions won't work because they've already been tried. Well, that is in complete contrast to the fact that the only sanctions we applied in the past were incremental and minimalistic, and the second the North Korea promised to go to the negotiating table, we'd pull back on the sanctions. We never seemed to put the full weight of our economic power and our moral power to deal with these situations. But China's another example. We should be publicly shaming China again and again. It's not just economic power. We have supposedly still some kind of power as the leader of the free world, and we should be continuously shaming China that they would support a regime so horrific as North Korea and that they would forcibly repatriate escapees that managed to get across from North Korea to China and send them back to horrible fates. And because China's worked not only very hard in recent years to build up its geopolitical and military presence in the South China Sea and beyond, but also to build up its reputation through propaganda. And if we can continuously shame them, that really hurts all this progress they've made and being what they want to be is the new arbiter of the world order, at least in Asia and hopefully like beyond. So we have to use our leverage, and that includes moral leverage and economic leverage and all kinds of leverage.
Well, I'm not promoting isolationism any more than you are, Dr. Pierce, but I believe that there needs to be clear-cut boundaries, that are set forth in the international community. That's fine. You know, you can have some low-level ambassador or representative talking to these people because you need to maintain communication. But to bring them to any level of normalcy, I think, sends out the wrong message. As you say, China should have been sanctioned a long time ago. Oh, yes, just from the military islands that they've set up, you know, with the violations out in the South China Sea. I'm sorry, I can't hear you, China. You know, that military island is getting in the way of the communication message. It's crimping our communication cord, don't you think?
Oh, my goodness, yes. I mean, China has just undergone this steady advancement in the South China Sea through its island building. And then, of course, people in the West said, well, we don't think they're going to militarize the islands. They would be afraid to get away with that. Well, of course, then they start to militarize the islands.
Yeah.
And they're undergoing this major military modernization and military buildup. And then there's that One Belt, One Road project that extends their influence into Asia and the Middle East. And in the meantime, for the most part, we're twiddling our thumbs in terms of the leverage which we actually could have used.
Yes.
And we find ourselves in this position.
And we're going to find ourselves in another situation to where are we going to have another potential military front going on? And as you say, with Korea, it's almost like Iraq all over again. They're ignoring all the sanctions and the warnings from the United Nations. It is like the paper tiger is full of too much paper these days. Thank you, Ann Pierce. Appreciate it.
This report is brought to you by Bank of America. According to a Bank of America survey, 3 out of 4 Americans plan to do some sort of back-to-school shopping this year. Jason Gaughan is with Bank of America.
As summer comes to a close, Americans are putting vacations behind them and spending on supplies for the classroom. Whether they're hitting the books themselves or picking up pencils for their kids, most plan to spend about $370 on back-to-school expenses. And while the next holiday break feels further than ever away, the right rewards credit card can let all that back-to-school spending get you one step closer to your next vacation. With the Bank of America Travel Rewards credit card, you can earn 1.5 points for every dollar you spend on purchases. Better yet, points don't expire, so you can redeem them when and where you want, including that next school break.
For more information, visit bankofamerica.com/travelconnected. That's bankofamerica.com/travelconnected.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free Reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Does matter. Bill Martinez live, without a doubt.
Welcome back, America. Bill Martinez here, 14 minutes before the top of the hour. For more information on the show, you can go to BillMartinezLive.com. You want to drop us an email? We'd love to hear from you, Bill@BillMartinezLive.com. Got a real treat for you. We're going to be talking Steve McQueen, the American icon, with Pastor Greg Laurie, Harvest Ministries founder, also senior pastor in Riverside, California. Also, I saw your parish church. I was in Maui here recently, and you're in Maui as well, Pastor Greg. You're all over the place.
Yes, we are, Bill. And that is a church that we recently brought into our church family, and I've been involved in for years. And I was really glad to include them because, hey, I know a lot of people over there, and let's face it, Maui is one super cool place, right?
Oh, it really is. Well, for us especially, because our ninth grandchild, our first Maui grandchild, lives right down the street from you.
Wonderful. Well, yeah, you need to visit your grandchild more.
Yeah, so we find occasion, get back there a couple times a year, and thank God for Facebook and Facebook Live. So we're, our daughter is keeping us up to date with this little guy. He's quite a miracle, Pastor, because, he was born with some heart issues, but, anyway, that's a whole nother story. But I wanted to talk to you about this new movie that, you partnered with the Irwin Brothers regarding Steve McQueen. And as I started to watch this, my first thought was Steve McQueen's background and your life ground, your background, very similar.
Yeah, that's true. You know, I didn't know that until I started doing research for the book. I co-wrote a book that is now a movie, and the book is written with Marshall Terrell, who has written 5 biographies on McQueen. So as I'm researching Steve's life to write my book to tell what happened to him in his faith journey, I'm totally shocked to find our childhoods are like identical. Yeah. I've never heard of anybody with a childhood closer to mine, or maybe I should say a childhood that was closer to his, because he preceded me. But both of us were born to alcoholic mothers, blonde alcoholic mothers, I might add. Both of us were abandoned by our biological fathers. We never knew them and went searching for them. Both of us were raised by uncles and aunts and grandparents and lived with them for a time. Both of us were sent to reform schools, he to the boys' home, Boys Republic in Chino, and I was sent to the Southern California Military Academy. So what I found interesting was, as I learned more about Steve's childhood, I could understand him better. And it helped me to write with a certain degree of empathy, not to justify everything he did, because Steve could be a very self-absorbed, selfish, at times mean person. He could also be a very generous, caring person. The reality is Steve had to learn how to fend for himself. He had to learn survival skills just like I had to learn. And, you know, his trajectory led him to become the number one movie star on the planet. And so, but he was, you know, a very well-known womanizing man who was trying to grab everything he could. And I think because, that's because he had a big hole in his heart. In fact, he was later interviewed and he said, and it's, there's a recording of it in our film where Steve himself says, you know, when your father abandons you and your mother doesn't want anything to do with you, you feel unloved and unwanted. So that haunted him throughout his life.
Yeah, that spirit of rejection is a very powerful pull and influence. This American icon who was known as the King of Cool, that's one thing that was brought out in this documentary, this movie that you're presenting here as well, based on the book, is about the cool factor of Steve McQueen. You know, for those of you that experienced the Fonz and Happy Days, Steve McQueen was, you know, the predecessor to the Fonz. He defined cool back then.
He was a prototype, I think, you know, because, you know, his contemporary was James Dean and Elvis Presley.
Right.
So he was of that era. Probably when we even first started using the word cool. I don't know where the word cool started. Probably 50s.
Yeah.
But it's funny how that term has transcended time and we still use it today where other terms have gone out of fashion. But, you know, I think for Steve, the reason they called him the King of Cool was because he was his own guy. But I think in a way, the coolness, in quotes, was really a disconnectedness. You know, when Steve was on the screen, he stood apart from all other actors. As Mel Gibson pointed out, we interviewed him for the film, Steve was more of a reactor than an actor. In other words, he would react to things happening in the scene. And he would sort of be a bit disconnected. And I think what you saw on the screen was a reflection of his own life. You know, this is a man that kind of built a shell around himself. A man that had a hard time trusting people. A man who had a hard time giving love and accepting love because of the way he was raised. And
exactly.
So maybe that contributed to the so-called cool factor. And he did have the coolest cars. He did wear the coolest clothes, and he seemed to do the coolest things, but, you know, you can be the King of Cool and still be empty.
Exactly.
And Steve was. So the reality is that sent him on a search because he had pretty much everything this culture offers and then some, and it didn't fill that hole in his heart.
Yeah, he had all the women, all the fame, all the money there. As his career skyrocketed, as you noted, early on in Broadway. The theater, not necessarily very good for him, although it did lead to a connection with Strasberg. Strasberg took him to the new level, and he understood something, as any exceptional individual does when it comes to their craft. And as Mel Gibson pointed out in your movie here, Greg, is that he understood camera angles like no other actor, and it brought to the screen a very unique property and ability.
Well, that's true. You know, another thing Mel brought out about Steve, and I think it's great because, you know, as an actor, he can comment on the craft because Mel himself is an amazing actor and director, of course. And he talked about how Steve used props. And we have clips from his film showing it, but, you know, the way he drove a car, the way he held a gun, he would just, whatever scene he was in, he managed to just kind of completely dominate the scene. We show a few scenes from The Magnificent Seven, which actually was starring Yul Brynner. He was a very big star at that time. And Steve was an up-and-coming guy. He was not the star of the film, but every scene he was in with Brynner, he stole the scene from Brynner because he would be doing something interesting, playing with his hat, holding it up to block the sun, looking at his gun, shaking a shotgun shell. It's really pretty funny. But Steve, you know, was a very mechanical guy. In fact, he was so into racing and motorcycles that he asked the question, am I an actor who is a racer, or am I a racer who's an actor? In other words, he actually considered a career as a race car driver.
Exactly, right.
So that's where his heart was, more than in making films. But, you know, making films made him a lot of money and helped him buy all the toys that he wanted. But it also accelerated him on the road that showed him that everything Hollywood offered was not real. It was a mirage. It was a dream. And in Time for McQueen, actually kind of a nightmare. I think a lot of it culminated in a night. He had a very close friend named Jay Sebring, who was sort of like the hairstylist of the stars.
Mm-hmm.
So Jay said, hey, Steve, why don't you come over to a party at Sharon Tate's house? She was an actress.
Yeah.
She was married to Roman Polanski. Come on over for a party. And Steve said, okay, I'll come. He was on his way to the party. Some girl, he ran off with a girl instead, missed the party. And that was the night the Manson family struck and murdered everybody in that home. One of the most grisly murders in American history. And so that was just really a wake-up call, a shock to Steve's system, and kind of contributed to him just disconnecting from Hollywood and everything it represented.
Yeah, I mean, you imagine he had an opportunity. As we know, Steve McQueen was a ladies' man. That gal at that moment in time basically saved his life. Pastor Greg, if you've got another time, I really want to get more into the evangelism aspect of Steve McQueen, what his heart wanted once he came to come in relationship with Jesus Christ, and how that baton, in a sense, has been passed on to you, which I believe is only fitting, considering the heart of evangelist that you have. Can you stay with us another 10 minutes?
I'd have to ask the guy who's moderating, because
yes, sir. Yeah. You're good, Bill. You're good.
Okay. Well, I got a note from Michael. He said that it's okay, and if it's okay with you, Pastor, let's do another segment right after this. Stay with us, ladies and gentlemen. We've got more from Pastor Greg Laurie right after this.
In the know, I'm Andy Solomon. A recent University of Phoenix College of Education survey conducted online by Harris Poll reveals 62% of American K-12 teachers assign less than 3 hours of homework per week, challenging the notion that American teachers are continuing a reliance on outside schoolwork. Pamela Rogeman with University of Phoenix.
Many educators are embracing new models of learning in lieu of traditional homework assignments. Teachers are opting for work outside of class that provides students with different experiences rather than just more skill and drill practice.
The survey also reveals an increase in the use of technology as a useful resource for educators and students alike, but many teachers remain wary of technology's impact on learning.
The data suggests that many teachers are introducing EdTech cautiously. In some cases, they are unfamiliar with certain resources, but more often they worry that personal devices will become an unwelcome distraction.
For more information, go to phoenix.edu/education.
Allergies, pollen in the air, dogs in the house, mold in a basement. Whatever triggers your allergy symptoms, it can really hold you back. Break through with Allegra 5-in-1 Relief. Allegra works fast, won't make you drowsy, provides 24-hour multi-symptom relief, and it's effective every day. Break through allergies with Allegra. Starts working in 1 hour, use only as directed. Guaranteed or your money back. Visit Allegra.com.
If you want term life insurance, call Life Quotes. We guarantee you the lowest prices, or we will pay you $500. Plus, get up to $1 million in term life insurance with no medical exam. You do need term life insurance. Call Life Quotes now.
800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
People who can afford a LASIK procedure sure are lucky. Imagine being able to throw away your contacts and glasses. Imagine waking up tomorrow with 20/20 vision. Too bad everyone can't afford LASIK. Well, guess what? There's a company that agrees with you. The LASIK Vision Institute is now offering dramatically low prices on high-quality LASIK to make it affordable for everyone. That means you get the latest FDA-approved LASIK technology for a fraction of what others charge. And if you call right now, we'll schedule a free appointment so you can discover if LASIK is right for you. Results may vary. Call 1-800-963-4946. Even better, call right now and you can get an extra 20% discount off our already low-cost services. We've already performed over a million procedures. Let us help you. Discover how you can get the quality LASIK experience you deserve at a fraction of what others charge. For your free appointment, call 1-800-963-4946. 1-800-963-4946. 1-800-963-4946.
You want to save money in a place that gives you growth, control, and certainty without stock market risk or tax risk, and you want guarantees and you want it all tax-free. That's a tall order. But you can get all of that with properly designed participating whole life insurance. Most people think life insurance pays after you're dead. That's true. But you can have tax-free access to use your life insurance while you're alive. Get the free book to find out how. Call 702-660-7000.
Send your emails direct, NSA free to Bill at BillMartinezLive.com.
Back with you, America, 14 minutes before the top of the hour. Bill Martinez here. Our conversation with Pastor Greg Laurie continues. Harvest Ministries has partnered with the Irwin Brothers, the filmmakers that produced October Baby Moms Night Out in Woodlawn, to bring you the new feature film, Steve McQueen, American Icon. Pastor Greg, there's been so much written, and people thought that they knew Steve McQueen, but and for many years, people wanted to imitate his life, his lifestyle, as we talked about in the first segment. He was the epitome of coolness, yet few knew his real story. Why do you think that is?
You know, it's a good question, and I'm not sure I know the answer, because it's almost like a story that was hidden in plain sight. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was out there, but it was never really well known. In fact, when I sort of dug into it, people would say, I've never heard this before. When I told it to Mel Gibson, who ended up being interviewed for the book I wrote called Steve McQueen, American, The Salvation of an American Icon, and our film, Mel didn't know the story. He'd sort of heard about it, but he didn't really know much about it. And so I'm thinking, this is a big story. I mean, think about it. It would be like if Johnny Depp became a Christian, would people notice, or Brad Pitt, or Matt Damon, or George Clooney? And, you know, the reality is, Steve McQueen was like all of those actors and more wrapped up into one guy. I mean, he literally did everything. He did his own stunts like Tom Cruise. He was a fashion icon like maybe a George Clooney. He was, a kind of a bad boy actor like a Johnny Depp. So he was kind of everything wrapped into one single guy.
Exactly. Well, you know, Pastor Greg, you being a pastor, and some people might say, well, what was your interest in this movie star?
Well, it probably start with, you know, in addition to being a pastor, I'm also kind of a car guy. I love cars. I've loved them since I've been a kid. I love motorcycles. I ride motorcycles. Like old classic cars. So maybe it began there. I'd seen Steve's films growing up as a young guy. But I actually went out a few years ago, maybe 2 years ago, and I bought a replica of a Bullet Mustang.
Oh, wow.
A Bullet Mustang is a car that Steve drove in the film Bullet. Mm-hmm. And it's called the Bullet Mustang. It's basically a 1968 Mustang. In Highland Green with a black dot grill, no pony emblem, and aftermarket wheels. So car people know this car. Yeah. So I just got the car because I loved it. It was fun to drive. But so it started there. And I had an interest in him generally. But when I recently watched the documentary film that told his whole story of his rise to success and how he walked away from Hollywood and got cancer and died, and I thought, wait a second. I had heard that Steve had become a Christian. Why is that not in this documentary?
Yeah.
So I decided to make a documentary, and I got the best guys I knew, John and Andy Irwin, the Irwin brothers, who made some amazing films, including Woodlawn and the soon-to-be-released I Can Only Imagine.
Right.
And I pitched the idea to John. He got it, like, in 4 minutes. And so he didn't have the time to do it, and I didn't have the time to do it. But somehow we managed to do it, and we put a documentary film together in under a year.
That's amazing. And Steve
McQueen. And it's really well done, I might add.
No, I had a chance to see a screening of it, Pastor Greg. Very impressive. And I know that people are going to be buying their tickets early for this Fathom event. We're going to talk about its release here in just a moment and give the details of this. But, you know, even in the film, you play Steve McQueen's words, which is typical of someone who comes to relationship with Jesus, and that they feel like there's this inadequacy, but also at the same time, this desire to share the good news, to make an impact. In other words, it was almost like the reason for all his fame, reason for everything he'd gone through, was now summed up with that, as you say, that hole in the heart that had now been filled in with Jesus Christ, and he wanted to get that word out. And I sense that maybe in his dying moments, he was exceedingly frustrated by being limited and not being able to tell that part of his story. Interesting, up to now, it has not been told, but you're the one to bring it forth.
Well, I feel honored to do so, and I just thought it was a story that needed to be told. And, you know, Steve once was quoted to say to Pastor Leonard DeWitt, you know, my only regret is I was not able to tell others about what Christ had done for me.
Mm-hmm.
Steve wanted people to know about this, and he said so in audio recordings we have in the film. So in a way, I'm righting a wrong. It's like mm-hmm. this was something he wanted to do, and now I'm doing it for him. So more people can hear the simple truth. Nobody, no matter how rich, powerful, handsome, or successful, is without a need for God. Everybody needs God, even movie stars.
Exactly.
And so I hope this story will resonate with people from all walks of life and say, no one is beyond the reach of God, and Jesus Christ can change anybody. If he can change a guy like Steve McQueen, he can change anybody.
And it almost seems that if you listen to Steve's words in between, that he was looking for this. He knew he had a spiritual side of him. It just hadn't been developed, and he was waiting for the right connection. And wouldn't you know, along the way, and of course, with your connection with Billy Graham, he comes in connection with Billy Graham himself. And as you show in the movie, he dies with Billy Graham's Bible.
Yes, that's correct. You know, when Steve found out he had cancer, so basically the timeline is, Steve's the number one movie star in the world. He leaves Hollywood, moves to Santa Paula, California to learn how to fly. Mm-hmm. His flight instructor is a Christian who Steve is very impressed by. His name is Sammy Mason. He takes Steve to church because Steve asked if he could go to church with Sammy. Mm-hmm. Steve hears the gospel and accepts Christ. And for 6 months, Steve is growing in his faith, doing very well. Having hour-long Bible studies with the pastor every week, faithful in attendance, bringing people to church with him. But then he's not feeling well on the set of one of his films, so he has a test done, and he finds out he has mesothelioma, he has cancer, and they don't give him any hope. So he knows he may die, but in a desperate measure, he finds a surgeon in Mexico who will remove the cancerous tumors in his body. So as he's flying to Mexico, he charters a jet. He asks his friend and Pastor Leonard DeWitt if there's any way he can meet Billy Graham. Billy graciously makes time in his very busy schedule. Billy was at the peak of his ministry at that point. He comes and visits Steve, and they pray together before Steve flies to Juarez, Mexico for a surgery. And Steve realizes he's misplaced his Bible. Mm-hmm. And Billy said, here, Steve, take mine. He gives to Steve his personal Bible with his name on the front and notes in the margins that Billy wrote from sermons he had given, and inscribed it to Steve, to my friend Steve McQueen, I may God bless you, and then wrote the passage from Philippians that says that God will complete the work he has begun in you. Mm-hmm. And then Steve went to the clinic. They did the surgery. He survived the surgery. They removed all the cancer, but a little bit later, he died in a recovery room of a heart attack. And when they went in there and pulled the sheet back, Steve was holding the Bible that Billy Graham gave him. So as he entered eternity, he had that precious Bible that meant so much to him, really as a representation of his faith in Christ.
Pastor Greg, as we wrap this up here, two more quick questions, and I'll let you sum them up. The takeaway of this movie that is so important for people to view, and also the connection with this Fathom event, when it will take place, how we get tickets, and see for ourselves. Steve McQueen, American Icon.
Well, I would hope that people would buy two tickets, one for themselves and one for a friend that's not a Christian yet, and take them to the theater. It shows nationwide as a Fathom event on September 28th. So if you go to our website, stevemcqueenmovie.com, there's a little search engine there. You can type in your zip code, and you'll find out what theater it might be showing at near you. So I just hope people will go and see this film. And, you know, at the end of the story, it's a beautifully filmed story, interviews with a lot of people, clips from Steve's film. But then when we get to the end, I actually extend a personal invitation for people to accept Christ. And they'll be given that opportunity right in the movie itself toward the end. Mm. So I'm seeing this as a way to reach people that don't know the Lord. But I think anyone that goes and sees it will be very impressed by it as a documentary film. I personally, and I'm biased, but I personally think it's the finest documentary film ever made about McQueen.
Yeah, without a doubt. I would agree, Pastor Greg. And I think that, again, as I said earlier, it's only fitting that you, as an evangelist, a noted evangelist who has worked closely with Dr. Graham himself and the Evangelistic Association, understanding the heart because of your similar backgrounds in early childhood as Steve McQueen, that the baton was out there, you know, to pass on, and you were the one to pick it up and to fulfill the vision and the heart's desire of Steve McQueen, and that is to share the gospel of Jesus Christ and to say, hey, this is the difference it made in my life, and that this wasn't, you know, clearly it's not a deathbed conversion. This was something that happened prior to and was a true heartfelt desire of his.
That's exactly right.
Well, Pastor Greg Laurie has been with us. All the information, of course, will be linked on our website as well at BillMartinezLive.com. Steve McQueen, American Icon. It will be a Fathom event, and look for the details. Get your tickets, as Pastor Greg said, one for yourself, one for a friend. That's a great suggestion, Pastor Greg. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Are you happy washing your hands with harsh chemicals? Are you happy doing laundry with detergents? Are you happy paying high prices? Find your happiness with Pure Soap. These all-natural, earth-friendly Pure Soaps are the very best you've ever used. Buy in bulk. Get a 12, 36, or 48-month supply. Or get items individually and still save big. You're getting soap products twice as good as what you're using now. Earth-friendly and natural soaps. Your family deserves the best. Happiness is 5starsoap.com. Why not put your money up the drain for a change? See them at 5starsoap.com or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog. Calvin Soap Company can save you thousands of dollars and give you good old-fashioned real soaps that are triple concentrated. Soaps made from vegetable and coconut oils. See their full selection of soaps at 5starsoap.com. That's FiveStarSoap.com. Or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog.